Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, I'm fabulous, and happy to be here with our annual, we do this every preseason, our top 10 tips for FPL success. And you and I both really love recording this episode.
It's you know, we were talking about this before we started recording, but in some ways I feel like it's kind of like it's like a greatest hits of our podcast, because it sort of takes all the themes that we talk about throughout the year, all the sort of bits of strategy, whatever I think and you think is most important to, it's success is defined very broadly here. Right. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, how to do well. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, both of us have a lot of success. We also are friends, the people who've had a lot of success, who've given us advice that we've included in this podcast. But both of us are also really focused on actually enjoying playing fantasy. Yeah. And I'd say that to me is something I think about almost as much as I think about being good at it. And I don't think those necessarily go hand in hand. Although when you're having a really good season, it's very easy to enjoy fantasy. When you're having a bad season, you can still do it, but you do have to work a little bit harder to find a way to enjoy it. And so that is one of the themes that we will talk about in today's episode.
Absolutely. Make fantasy fun again. That is the motto of Always Cheating for this season.
And that's right.
We're going to try and take this episode slightly differently. So We change up the 10 tips every season, ever so slightly. This episode, we're going to revisit our 10 tips from the beginning of last season. And we're going to just kind of judge whether or not we followed those tips last season, if we learned anything to augment those tips heading into the 2021 season.
That's what we're talking about today. I think we don't need to do a ton of preamble. There have been some, you know, there's some news in the works. Thiago Silva staying with Chelsea. Lots of stuff happening. Next week's pod, we can talk more about players. And obviously, you know, we'll be revealing our Game Week 1 teams and all that stuff. But I think we're still, especially with you know, I mean, just so many, you know, so many transfers still left to be made. It looks like we finally know what's happening with Arsenal. It looks like they're going with Leno as their full-time keeper. It looks like Emiliano Martinez is going to get moved on to another club, possibly Leeds. That's the talk I've heard. Okay. So, you know, we'll talk about all that next week. Right now, let's just skip most of the preamble and just do a quick thank you to our newest Patreon supporters. And Brendan, I'm feeling the fire right now.
So you're in the flow, Josh.
Yeah, I'm in flow. So get out of my way. I'm going to thank our newest producers, Nicholas Vernadakis. Thank you so much to Nicholas for becoming a new Patreon producer. And a bonus shout out to our favorite gin and tonic drinking producer, Carrie Swanson. Thank you, Carrie, for your support. Both of our new producers are going to get our newest Make Fantasy Fun Again t-shirt. And you and I are still going back and forth between green and blue. I don't know which one we're going to go with yet, but
yeah,
shirts are coming. And are you going to share the design? Have you shared it? I guess I shared it on Twitter, but I guess we'll probably have to post something on our Patreon page soon, right?
Yeah, we'll post to Slack and the Patreon page the official shirt design, which our Patreon supporter Joachim actually came up with, a very talented designer himself. So so you put it out on Twitter. Which color do you like best? I think now we put it to the actual Patreon supporters for a vote. Is it green or is it blue? So we are so close, Patreon supporters, to those t-shirts. Your voice will now be heard.
Yeah, it was really the classic brag tweet. You know, it was like, I didn't, you know, we were, you know, a little feedback would have been nice, but it was really more like, how cool is this shirt that's coming? Anyway, let me thank a couple of our producers quickly. Soham Rajpara, these are Lord's Royal patrons. Mike Thunder, my name is Kira, Francis Moore, Pookie patron, Nick Loveland, Matt Dance, and Chris Day Carey. Chris Day Carey came back as a patron, so thank you to Chris. And if you want to say thanks and support the cheaters and get access to a ton of different stuff, including the Always Cheating Cup, which we've decided to move to Game Week 5 because there's just too much going on at the start of the season. So we have our first ever FA Cup style competition, which is going to be kicking off in Game Week 5. We'll talk more about that later. But bonus podcast, I actually just posted a bonus podcast a couple days ago, you can find access to the Slack and all that stuff. It's all on Patreon. So go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to learn more and say thank you.
One last message before we take a break and get to our top 10 tips. And this is about our good friends at Fantasy Football Hub, fantasyfootballhub.co.uk. They are your one-stop shop for all your FPL needs, from stats to tools to articles and strategy. The Hub also has a new mobile app, so everything you can access on the Hub via your website, you can now have in your pocket with their mobile app. Access great fantasy minds managing today. They're sharing their teams and strategy through articles and videos. We talked about this last week, Josh. Are you an article man or a video man?
I'm a proper article man. By the way, what's the difference between a stat and a tool, Brandon? Is there what is the biggest difference there? Is a tool like a thing you use yourself, and a stat is something you read? Is there like a level of agency involved?
Yeah, sure. So the stats that you get at the Hub are straight up Opta stats. So that's just naked data. Some people out there are equipped to just look at the data and understand what it means or use it, bend it to their will. But if you don't think like that, much like me, there are tools that you can use for player comparison. So I want to know the real difference from an FPL point of view between Mo Salah and Sadio Mane, and the Hub will basically just synthesize all the Opta stats around those players and give you visualizations and numbers and tips as to how a player might best fit into your FPL squad.
Got it. Okay. So if people want access to that, they can go to fantasyfootballhub.co.uk/always. And if they do that, they get 25% off whatever tier they choose. Thank you, Brandon. I took over your ad read there. Sorry about that. I couldn't resist.
I think the flow that you've been surfing for the opening of this podcast continues. So let's see if we can keep that momentum going into part one with our lessons learned.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon. All right, Brandon, we're back. 10 tips, lessons learned, advice for the new season. We're collecting it all and revealing it, discussing it at the very least on this week's podcast. But Brandon, before we even get into those 10 tips, a bonus discussion, let's call it. Just a question for you. What do you think your style is? Like, it just as you go into the season, as you think about the kind of fantasy manager that you are, what kind of manager are you? Like, how do you approach fantasy? Do you feel like you're a person who has a philosophy or a thing that you want to do going into a season?
Yeah, I don't know. For all the Star Trek fans out there, maybe I'd describe my style as Vulcan-esque. Maybe I'm ruled by logic a little too much, which can stymie my creativity. I think that I would like to learn how to be a more creative fantasy manager, but I'm always compelled to look for the logical choice, to make the logical decision. And sometimes that's a salve, like at the end of a bad game week in FPL, and it didn't go well for you. At least you can sit back and say, well, logically, I made the right decision. So right, it can't really right. be my fault.
It's an illogical game. What can you do? Yeah.
Yeah, I love talking about the theory of FPL is not luck versus skill, it's systems versus moments. And so you use a certain level of logic to build an FPL squad that has a system. It is a system that opens you up to moments. And those moments some would classify as luck, but basically big points hauls by some of your key or marginal players. So that is my general thought process. How about yourself?
I think my style is a little different. It's maybe a little less structured than yours. I actually think that the biggest thing for me is, and this is I think it works well sometimes, and it can really hinder me sometimes, which is that I think, to be completely honest, I'm a bit of a glory chaser when it comes to fantasy. And, and I either want to be doing extraordinarily well and have everybody admire how well I'm doing, or I want to be making incredibly clever and creative transfers that when they come off, everyone can't believe I was bold enough to do it. You know, it's like there's a bit of an ego part of it to it. And I think that when, and so for me, and when I think about, you know, you're talking about like wanting to change your approach going this season, for me, I think that the easiest way to do it is to do well, as opposed to making brilliant transfers that no one thought of. And so I am going to try to be slightly more conservative at the start of the season, because I think I have a little bit of like, you know, like Tiger Woods famously only came back to win one major ever. It was actually the last major he won when he was, every major that he won up to the last one, he was either ahead or leading going into the final day. Mm-hmm. And he's a great front runner, and he's not great when he's chasing. He takes too many risks. He just leaves his game too wide open. And that is the style that I have found myself in, mm-hmm. which is that I have three finishes in the top 2000 overall, right? So three great seasons, and I've got a handful of ones that are, I have one that's like properly bad, right? Like 600,000. And then a few others that are a little more just kind of like whatever, you know? And so for me, it's really important that I get off to a good start, because mm-hmm. if I'm playing well, it sort of course corrects for me a little bit or something. Like it keeps me playing well. And so I'm going to try to be a little more conservative going into the start of the season in order to hopefully put myself on that track.
Okay, well, let's jump into the actual 10 tips here. And we've peppered these tips with some tips from you, the listener, and some of our Patreon supporters. And I think as we discuss them, Josh, if there's anything about last season that you think might actually either bolster or hinder these tips, let's chat about that. So the first one, Okay. Our first tip is simply the template never lasts. So when we say template, that means those highly owned players that you're talking about, Josh. Sometimes you look at other people's FPL teams and you think, my team looks exactly like them. How is this a game? How is this fun? But the fact is, the template never lasts. The key to having a successful FPL season is operating fast so you can adjust before the template changes again. Because when right. the template falls apart, it reforms into something different. And if you can be ahead of that curve, you will finish with a great rank. So yeah, Josh, I think you had this experience last season. A lot of managers did with Teemu Pukki. Like, he came on strong in game week 2 with, was it a hat trick against Newcastle? Mm-hmm. Right. And suddenly it looked like he was going to move into that budget striker hole in the FPL template. But how quickly did Pukki fall out of favor? And if you hung on to Pukki for too long, you lost ground. And if you could kind of spot that happening earlier than other managers and ship Pukki out of your lineup, then that was an advantage for you.
Yeah, I actually think you were. So I got on Pukki really early, before going into game week 2 last season. So I was able to bank the hat trick when his ownership was pretty low. But I also held on to him for about 5 weeks longer than I should have. And I think that you actually were, you dropped him early. And I remember it well, because you dropped him right before he got, I think it was a goal assisted 3 bonus points at home to Man City. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, I remember where I was at Governor's Island when this happened. And I was tracking it on my phone. I know. Cause I'm what a great husband and father I am, just tracking tracking this match. But I remember thinking, oh man, Brennan just dropped Pukki. He must be so pissed. I'm glad I'm not around him right now. But then I feel like he blanked for the next 35 game weeks in a row. Yeah, never had another return.
And the other part of that, story was that I had brought in Jamie Vardy.
Right.
And that was right when Jamie Vardy started to, started his meteoric rise. And this is a long anecdote just to prove this point, but it was hanging on to Pukki prevented a lot of managers from finding another striker slot where they could fit Vardy in. So those are just things that you have to look for.
Brandon, I can make this story longer, because there's a point here that ties in with the preface that I was talking about. You actually kind of did go 7,000 RPM early on last season because you dropped Pukki, smart, but you also decided, I don't need a Liverpool midfielder.
Oh God,
and so you went full Maverick, and yeah. I think the Pukki move was good, but you went a little too far. And I think that because you brought in Vardy, awesome, worked out great. Dropped Pukki, awesome, worked out great. Over several weeks, but you sort of decided you're going to go all in on one particular team, and I think that was it was Man yeah. City, but they're so tricky,
Yeah, it is true. And that was definitely a lesson learned by the end of the season. Liverpool is such a funny team, right? You think, well, they're not going to score nearly as many goals as Manchester City, but you do forget how just bloody consistent they've been for the last
yep.
2 years. And that really was the downfall, I think, of my overall rank last season.
Well, on that note, let's move on to piece of advice number 2, which is be patient, but not passive. Know the difference between smartly holding your nerve and passively losing control of your team. A couple of notes here from some of our listeners. Beery says, wait until the last minute to make transfers. Or in our case in the U.S., Brennan, before we stumble to bed at, you know, at whatever, 1 a.m. Friday night. Josh Frost says, try to have 2 free transfers when possible. I actually don't know that I agree with that. We could talk about that more in a second. Says the flexibility they bring when used together makes them worth more than 2 individual transfers. Actually, let's go right to that one first. Do you actually think that it's necessarily true that you should try to have 2 free transfers whenever possible? I actually think last season, you know, as we're talking about this hindsight thing, I think you actually embraced that strategy almost too much, right? I felt like there was, you held on to 2 for a very long time.
Yeah, that's why I'd put the finer point on not being passive as opposed to being patient in this tip, because I think I confused patience and passivity last season. But yeah, I often found myself with 2 free transfers because I'd look at my team and I'd think, yeah, I think I'm okay here. I think I'll take the patient approach. And as each week went by, it just felt like I wasn't actually playing FPL. I was just kind of like watching FPL on a TV screen. So I just think patience also involves a certain degree of involvement. I mean, I agree with Josh Frosch in that there's an incredible feeling going into a transfer window where you've got 2 frees. You can be a lot more creative with moves that you make. But sometimes what that means is, you know, those coworkers who are they're always in the office late, and you either think, is my coworker always in the office late because they work really hard, or are they in the office late because they actually don't get very much work done during the day? Mm-hmm. And so they have to stay late to finish what they should have gotten done. While 2 frees are great and it provides flexibility, I think that sometimes it can mean that maybe you are not making enough active decisions in your team in the meantime.
That's so true, by the way, the work thing. I mean, I know nobody works in an office anymore in this pandemic time, but yeah, it does feel like some of the hardest people, like the hardest working, most accomplished people in my office were people who left at like 4:45, you know? And it was like, they had to like catch the ferry to New Jersey or whatever, but it was like, they were just done, you know, they just worked hard the whole time. And yeah, then I'm like, I'm 6:15 for me. And I'm like, oh man, like I totally screwed around. I was on Twitter too much.
I was like watching Stoke v Newcastle at 3 p.m. at my desk. Right. Where did the time go? Yeah,
we've all been in that position where we're too guilty to leave because we know how little work we've done that day.
Right.
All right. This is nothing to do with fantasy, but I think you're right. I think patience, not passive. Honestly, you could just cross off the first part. Just don't be passive, right? You know, if you just say don't be passive, then you can still be patient, but it doesn't. I think you're right though. I think don't fall into that trap of kind of imagining a perfect scenario when all the players that you have who aren't delivering will suddenly start delivering.
Can you talk about the word patience just really quickly, because it is a word that always comes up in FPL strategy, where managers get very frustrated. This is why patience always comes up, because managers have a player like Raheem Sterling who's had 2 blanks in a row. You're like, it's foolish for me to have him in my squad because he's wasted cash. But I have to be patient. Is there a time and a place where patience really does help you as an FPL manager?
Well, yeah, I think it helps at 2 ends of your range. I think you can be there are probably about 8 players, 8 to 10 maybe, who you really should be patient with, because they're so good and so consistent, right? Mo Salah, Kevin De Bruyne, arguably Sadio Mane at this point, Trent Alexander-Arnold. They're worth the money, and the record of consistency is strong enough at this point that you can just trust that they're going to consistently deliver. I mean, someone like Mo Salah is on 3 consecutive seasons of incredible returns, right? Top 3 overall points earner in fantasy, or whatever the word is there, you know? And he has, you know, 2 of the last 3 seasons been the number one overall. That's a player you should be patient with. You can be pretty sure that you're going to get returns from him. St. Maximum, you know, at 5.5 million, you shouldn't be patient with him, or Richarlison, or, you know, you know, Danny Ings, like Danny Ings got a little hot at the end of the season, but he had a run of about 11 weeks in the winter and early spring where he was not a good fantasy asset. It was kind of over for him. And that, you know, it wasn't like we had 4 years of knowing that he was going to turn it around, you know? And so I think those players, and I think the other end is just like with, you know, 4 million, 4.5 million players, you should be patient with them because it's just a waste of a transfer. Usually to transfer someone who's, you know, who's so cheap.
That's a good point. Okay, let's move on to tip number three, which is do everything you can to keep your mini leagues fun. Make fantasy fun again. So the important thing to remember here is fantasy is not just about you yelling on the internet or angrily washing the dishes as you attempt to avoid your family after your captain blanked. That's just not fun. And right. A mini league is a way to help you create fun in your FPL life, that's good. But if it's not a mini league, you need to come up with something that is a weekly motivation for yourself. And how can that motivation evolve as the season evolves?
Find one friend or make a friend. Like if you can't, if you don't have a league or you don't have enough people, like maybe you're in, you know, I don't even know, like, you know, Gary, Indiana or whatever. And you're like, I'm the only guy doing fantasy Premier League in Gary, Indiana. There's no work leagues or no, you know, no friends nearby. Just find one person or convince a friend to do it and just start a head to head league like you and I do with our, our $50 cup. Now, because of the new rules on money leagues, Brandon, that is now $50 now refers to actual deers and how many deers we've bagged in on our hunting trips over the years.
Sure.
But you know, find a friend and just do a head to head league where you just, you know, if you want to, you know, buy the winter dinner or whatever the stakes are. But just, you know, you and I have been doing this for years and it's always a little something fun for me to have just this kind of, well, did I outscore Brandon this week? You know, and we have, you know, we you and I are both, I mean, I, you know, both of us are in like 13 mini leagues at this point. But you know, the original one that you and I started, the actual Always Cheating League, which is kind of the impetus for the name of this podcast.
Yeah, the podcast actually didn't start as a podcast. It started as a mini league among a few friends.
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of exactly proves the point, right? So the original Always Cheating League though is the one that I still, it's not even called that anymore. But that's the one that I still care about. And it's the one that that still matters to me more than anything. You know, like give me winning that league over a top, you know, 2000. Well, I'm like, how high do I want to go here? You know,
I can hear you cutting the baby in half here, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that, having another way to say this is, give yourself some small stakes as well, because, I just think like, you know, not to be a really cliche here, but like at the end of the day, like if you're 92,000 overall or whatever, like it's fine, but it's just, it feels very arbitrary to me. If you beat your best friend, you know, in a dead league, that's fun. That's, you know, there's some real stakes there. So, try to find some smaller stakes.
Sometimes you can just beat yourself, you know. Maybe you did finish 92K last season. The goal should be 91,999 this season. Well, and that's a good enough goal for a lot of managers.
Well, I think that's true. But I just think that you should, but it's such a long season. That goal can feel really far away if you're waiting until mid-May or whatever. And like, listen, if you just don't have any friends you can even convince to do it, just put the letters FPL into Twitter and you will find people who are absolutely dying to do a head-to-head league with somebody or to have somebody join the mini league or whatever. You can you can make friends in an hour for sure. So I'm glad you put that one near the top, Brandon, because I think that one is really important. It's less of a strategy one, but it's the whole point of this is to have fun. And that's what, you know, I feel like that's what you and I really, I know I try to keep it in mind when it comes to this podcast. I feel like sometimes we'll record a podcast and I'll be like, man, that was just like too heavy. You know, it was like too serious. And why am I taking this so seriously? Like so anyway, of course we all do take it seriously at times, but, if it's not fun, then what's the, I saw somebody who like quit like fantasy Twitter a couple of days ago. And he wrote this like long, it was like a series of posts in a thread about how burned out he was. And it was like, the season didn't even start. We're 2 weeks from the season starting, and people are already burned out and leaving. And I was like, you gotta find some smaller stakes, you know, like just get off Twitter, find one friend, and do that for a while. So anyway, that's yeah. Point number three.
Take us to four, because I think this one is closer to your heart, Josh.
Yeah. Pick one place, social media, Reddit, the always cheating Slack. We should put that one first, Brandon. Forums, you name the place. We have a Google group with people in our mini league that I think is a great place to talk fantasy too. So Google group to talk fantasy and stick to it. And the main reason to do this is that it's better to build a relationship with people you trust and people whose advice you trust than to just sort of have advice that's kind of floating around in the ether. And it's a very dangerous place to be. You know, I talked about two transfers earlier. It's very dangerous to have two transfers and suddenly start seeing names floating around by people you don't even know. And you're like, oh, maybe I should Captain Sun this week. Maybe I should do this or this. And it's like, you don't even know who's saying it. It's, you know, it's just sort of like it gets picked up and shared. And maybe someone had a very cool thread and you see it and you're like, oh, maybe this is good advice. And, but in general, yeah, it's like, I feel like I've got about 8 to 10 people that I like properly trust when it comes to fantasy advice.
Yeah. And I think the advice, it's not that you have to find a place or a person who you 100% agree with their advice all the time. I think about, I still, after all these years, read album reviews on Pitchfork. And if you see a review of a album and it's a 7.8 review, maybe to me, it's actually a best new music album, or maybe it's just a really crappy album. I've kind of learned how to read Pitchfork reviews to understand, will I like it or will I not like it? And I can kind of disregard the grade that they give it. And that's what you, with FPL advice, I think when you start to trust certain people, it's less that you do whatever they tell you to do, but you start to read your own strategy, your own theories into their advice, and it just kind of helps get you to where ultimately you want to go, if that makes sense.
By the way, I know that I'm getting old because the thing I enjoy most on Twitter are the best new reissues, like in that section where it's like they just like albums get reissued. I'm like, oh yeah, I love that album. That's really where my heart is.
What's your favorite place to go? So if it's social media, Reddit, forums, what's the place where are you spending most of your time?
Well, I think for, you know, for us, it's a little trickier. You know, I'm on Twitter the most. I think I've learned to develop my relationship with Twitter is a lot better than it used to be. I spent a lot of time kind of like just annoyed at people on Twitter, annoyed at fantasy managers. And so now I feel like I try to go to Twitter more for information, right? Like it's, if you want to find out, who just turned their ankle in practice or who might get transferred or whatever. Twitter is a great place to go. If you want to talk strategy, I don't love it. And I think that it's probably like the worst place when it comes to groupthink. And obviously, like, you know, I mean, our personal Slack is the place where we've got a great strategy forum in there. I don't want to do another bonus advert for our Patreon page, but I do find it super useful. There are things, you and I were talking a while ago about FPL Reddit and how there's something about them just being like, you're stupid, that's dumb, I hate it, that sometimes like really does cut through everything else, where you're like, finally, like, someone's actually telling the truth here. And I don't know if it's because Reddit's like a little more anonymous or not, but I do think that sometimes it is nice to get like just the straight, like how somebody actually, it's not all negative, of course, but it's like the negativity comes through because you're like, wow, like everybody's been so fake nice on these other forums. Like you guys are like really going for it here.
there are some gentler souls on Reddit, but yeah, I think for the most part for me, the appeal of the FPL Reddit forum is, yeah, they're just down to brass tacks. I'm going to tell you how I really feel. If I have another way of approaching your question, I'm going to tell you straight up what that other way is. And yeah, I think for strategy, that makes it pretty clear. Okay, so if I'm playing this kind of style, this would probably be the preferred way. And if that's not working, here's a different way.
All right, Brandon, let's go to number five. Avoid these common player traps. And I like what you've done here, Brandon. You've done a nice job with this running order today, I have to say. why don't you run through, let's go. There's four that you've listed here. So why don't you take us through each of these four player traps?
Yeah, I think that this is especially instructive for newer fantasy managers, because you'll recognize these players and you'll think, oh, is there a spot for them in my FPL squad? And the quick answer is no, there is not. So the first player trap would be the Aaron Connolly. You remember the 4.5 striker for Brighton, right?
Yeah.
So he emerged against Spurs earlier in the season, and everyone thought, oh, this boy's going to get a number of starts under Graham Potter. He's 4.5. Into my third striker slot, he goes. And this happens every season. There is a 4.5 striker who hits one purple patch, and then they become impossible to get out of your team. Because what happens when you take this really small price point and stick him in the corner of your squad, then you build the rest of your team out around it. And then it's going to take you at least two transfers to move enough money to get somebody more expensive than a 4.5 striker in for a player like Connolly. So that's a trap.
It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting because Mason Greenwood ended up scoring 10 goals on the season in the end, but he was a complete trap player until we were about, well, like 27 weeks into the season or something like that. Yeah. There had been some talk from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the start of last season that Greenwood was going to get minutes. He was going to get starts. Looked like he might actually start game week one. And so a lot of people brought him into their team, and he was getting 1 point or 0 points for the first, 10 weeks. And I didn't think he had scored his first goal until the Festa fixture or something like that. I know he was scoring some of the cups, but another trap there as well. But Connolly obviously even worse, just because I can't believe I had him. Like I completely fell into this trap. So that's a good one. Let's hear the next three.
Watch out. You're never too experienced to fall for one of these traps. So pay attention, everyone out there. The next player trap is the N'Golo Kanté. This is probably the most well-known player trap. So you need to stay away from great players who are on great teams. And they're appealing to you because, hey, this is a great player and a great team. Plus, they're among the cheaper players. I can actually fit Kanté into my squad. However, these players, often defensive midfielders, they do not win you any FPL points. Jordan Henderson flirted with sort of breaking this trap at some point last season, but ultimately he was an N'Golo Kanté trap.
Jordan Henderson, the greatest player in the Premier League, Brandon. As voted on by the
I'm not trying to argue against that fact per se, Josh. We're just having a straight FPL conversation. I want to get in trouble with captain, leader, legend Jordan Henderson. But anything else to say on the N'Golo Kanté trap?
No, you're right. I mean, just use a little bit of logic here. Naby Keita is another player I've heard bandied about a little bit. I mean, to me, Naby Keita is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He is at best the 8th best player from a fantasy perspective on Liverpool. Don't waste a Liverpool transfer on their 8th best player. That is just not where you want to be. I mean, yeah, Naby Keita may, by the end of the season, have 3 goals and 4 assists or something like that. Yeah. But it wastes a Liverpool slot. And this is going to be true of Chelsea as well, right? Chelsea bought 18 amazing players in the offseason. And you just don't want to fill up your slots with these players who are really, Naby Keita too. I mean, he's not even going to be a completely consistent starter, is it? I mean, he's a bit of a rotation risk. So
been, I think. I'm going to switch the order of the final two player traps just because we are talking about Liverpool. But the next player trap is the Joel Matip. And the trap that you fall in here is you think, I actually can't afford the more expensive premium Liverpool defenders. So I see Joel Matip has started a couple matches in a row here, and he's a little cheaper, so I'm going to take him. But what the Joel Matip trap is, you end up going for the cheaper player, but they become the riskier option. And you point to Matip in the Liverpool defense because you're just 0.5 or 1 or 1.5 away from a really terrific Liverpool defensive asset. So instead of trying to fit Joel Matip into your team, you need to find a way to scrounge up some cash to get Van Dijk or Trent or Rabo.
Totally agree. I mean, it does fit in with the Keita thing pretty well. I guess Matip might be the 9th player
behind Naby Keita. I like it.
Yep.
And the final player trap is what we'll call the Callum Wilson. Callum Wilson had such a poor end of the season that he is officially lost the always cheating moniker of The Truth. Even though it's The Truth,
sad, it almost immediately turned into a bad nickname. Like as it was coming out of my mouth, it became a bad nickname.
Even though we do stand by it, that sometimes The Truth does hurt. The Truth is simply The Truth. But the trap with the Callum Wilson type player is you find a great player, but the problem is the great player plays on a bad to mediocre team. Which often means, A, the great player is not going to be all that great an FPL asset, but more importantly, that asset is probably overpriced. Danny Ings really broke the mold on this with Southampton during his long run of form last season, but I think I'm kind of worried that Danny Ings is going to be a Callum Wilson trap in the 2021 season. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, Danny Ings is exactly who I was thinking of, Brandon, when you talked about Callum Wilson. I think Danny Ings has some Callum Wilson, The Truth potential here. I think, you know, Gylfi Sigurdsson is another player like this where he came in at $8 million last year. And it was just too expensive for a team like Everton because those teams just don't create, and especially when it comes to attackers, honestly, both attackers or defenders, but they're not going to create enough chances for an attacker to justify that massive price. You're almost always better off, you know, take the $8 million for Gylfi, put it towards, you know, $5.5 million, say maximum, and then maybe you're able to upgrade, you know, your midfielder, your forward spot, right? Maybe turns. I can't even think of a good example right now, but you know.
You're getting very specific here, Josh. I love it.
I know. I don't know why I am. I'm like boxing myself in a corner for no reason. So anyway, yeah, I agree with you. Mitro into Jimenez. Okay. There's one for you. Uh-huh. That's 2.5 million right there. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. So Jimenez, I think Wolves and Jimenez are good enough that he does not fall into this trap category. So I think those are good. I wonder what other maybe we'll put the call out. Let us know on Twitter, the Slack. What are other common player traps that you fall into? Because I feel like we can name about 20 of these, right? Like just like X player. How about the talisman on the 16th best team?
Yeah, right. Like Troy Deeney.
Yeah, the Trossard, right? Uh-huh. Like we all fall in love with the Trossard every season, and then you're like, oh right, but they only score like one goal every three matches. So why am I going for this player? All right, Brandon, that's five. We have five more to go. So let's take a quick break and we'll get right back.
All right, guys, you've counted on restaurants. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, or the Cheesecake Factory. And many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on its way. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE, all one word. Don't forget, that's Blue Wire for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Sundays are coming back in the NFL with NFLSundayTicket.tv. You can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices, plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFLSundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE.
All right, Brandon, we're back. Five more tips for you. Number six, don't be stubborn. AKA, it's okay to admit you made a mistake. Brandon, what does this one mean to you?
What it means is, I mean, it can mean a lot of different things. Some people could say stubbornness is, I refuse to have this player in my team because I refuse to have a City player in my team because I'm a United fan. my team wears a red kit, so no blue kits are going to grace my FPL squad. That sure, yeah. That maybe that's fun for you, but that's probably the death of your FPL season right there. I think more usefully for FPL managers, the don't be stubborn, it's okay to admit you made a mistake rule is if you make a transfer and ultimately it proves to be a bad transfer, it's okay to admit that it was a bad transfer, that you read the player wrong, you read their form mm-hmm. incorrectly, and to yeah. correct that. It could also work a different way where their managers get stubborn, where they drop an asset. And say you drop Anthony Martial, like you tried to do many times last season, Josh. yeah. But that player then hits an incredible run of form, and stubborn managers will say, well, I dropped Martial for a reason. I can't go back to that well. Meanwhile, Martial just goes on an FPL rampage and is scoring yeah. points. So to not be stubborn, to admit that you made a mistake, means, hey, it's okay. Just bring Martial right back into your team and you're good. You're golden.
Yeah, I like Andy G, the golf pro, one of our Patreon supporters, who says, don't fall into the, they can't continue doing this. He says it's the Vardy rule, perhaps. Yeah, I think that is it's almost like the story of the season is whether you get right they can't continue doing this question, right? This I mean, I can think of 10 times last season where this was a thing. Yeah, you know, I mean, we talked about Martial already, but I mean, how about Lundstrom, right? Started the season, a 4 million defender from a promoted team that everyone thought was going to go straight down, picks up, scoring goals and getting assists and bonus points. And he's classified as defender and he's playing out of position. And you're like, well, I don't think Southampton or the Sheffield United is that good. So, and he's probably not going to keep getting starts, right? Because he was classified as defender and they're probably going to, you know, someone else is going to play. You know, it's like you kind of like, fall into this trap if you're like, well, he's already really highly owned and my edge now is going to be not having him, you know, or whatever. And it's a mistake. Like, I mean, you know, sometimes you are correct in your assumption, obviously, but I would say 7 times out of 10, or I don't even, you know, 70% of the time you're better off, you know, just trusting that the player that everyone's excited about and buying is a player that you probably want to have as well.
Yeah. Shout out to John Robson on Twitter, who basically laid out this rule for us straight up. But I also just wanted to mention Jeff Waugh, who put it so elegantly, when the facts change, you should change your mind. And like so maybe it's not that you made a bad call. Maybe in fact the call was correct, but the facts ultimately did change after you made the call. And at that point, go ahead and change your mind.
Maybe that gives you a strategic out. Listen, I was right, but the facts changed, okay?
Precisely.
I was right when I made that decision. Number 7, read the rules, know the deadlines, use what the FPL site gives you for free.
Yeah, this rule basically says don't be lazy. There is no ignorance of the law when it comes to FPL. This is another good tip for newer managers. If this is your first season, like the game week deadline is the biggest moment for you. And there will be tricky deadlines that creep up on you throughout the season. So you've got to know these deadlines. You have to do what you can to read the fine print on the FPL site to make sure you're not missing any of that information. And when you say, Josh, use what the FPL site gives you for free, I don't think we need to go too deep into the culture war that is FPL pricing, FPL price changes, chasing them or not chasing them.
Can we talk about the Darlow thing just for a second, though?
Okay, go on. Well,
is that the craziest thing you've ever seen in the fantasy game? Carl Darlow, who has not played in 2 seasons, is a 5 million backup keeper. There are like 7 or 8 4.5 million starting keepers in fantasy going into the season, including like some pretty decent keepers like McCarthy, who are cheaper. Like Carl Darlow is one of the high-end keepers in the fantasy game, the backup keeper for Newcastle.
It does seem like it's just a straight up mistake. Going back to rule number six, FPL Towers, it's okay to admit you made a mistake. Just change his price to 4.5. Let's do
it. That would be awesome. They were just like, you know what? We got this one wrong. It's like the reverse Pulisic, right? Yeah. Like, we got this one wrong, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. But just to flag, the prices are set now, but prices go up and they go down as the transfer market gets into full swing when the season starts. And that will change players' price tags as the season goes. There are sites out there that can give you kind of real-time information on what the price trends are. But right there on the FPL front page, they list most players transferred in and transferred out for that game week. It's a great, quick, visual place for you to see what's the action. What are other managers doing that I need to be aware of? And maybe it's not I need to get in or get out those players and do what everyone else is doing, but just be mindful of maybe those prices could shift. Maybe there's an opportunity there with a player that I like when everyone's shipping them out.
Yeah. And, you know, two things that we always advocate for, little Jason says, always set your bus team. This is for any new managers. This is a term that you and I coined, like 2 years ago now. And it basically is, you know, if you get if the unfortunate situation happens where you get hit by a bus, or let's say an errant messenger bike. How about that? It's a little more mild, but it knocks you out. It knocks you out and you're in a coma, a short-term 5-day coma, just long enough that you miss the next deadline. Brandon, that won't matter for your fantasy team because you've already set your bus team. Pop on there a minute after the site updates for the new game week and just set your team for the next week. Just, and this is especially important around the holidays, just set that team because there are matches that like the game week ends like practically like in the morning and the next game week begins in the afternoon. Like it's incredibly tight how, you know, how they arrange that. So just set a bus team and give yourself a little bit of an out.
So that is the practical reason to set your bus team, because that messenger bike could be careening downhill. But the more strategic reason to set your bus team is you're going to be in a different headspace earlier on in the week than you are when you get up closer to the deadline. So your bus team is actually a good reference point of, oh, I was actually thinking of captaining this player at the very start of the game week, but now here I am second guessing myself. And maybe you'll recognize a pattern of, well, you, throughout the season, you would have been better off playing your bus team instead of the tinkering that you did up to the deadline. It's just kind of a good place for you to see where your head was at earlier in the week and compare that to where you are near the deadline when maybe you have more information or different thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's very true. Taking a screenshot of your team, even, you know, if you're going to on a wild card or something like that, just to like remember, oh, right, this is the team I thought I might, you know, have going into next weekend. All right. So three more to go here, Brandon. We put these together, so of course I like them, but these last three I think are some good ones. Number eight is watch actual matches and or highlights. So Brandon, why is this important to watch actual matches and highlights?
Yeah, Lloydy on Twitter put it really nicely. Watching games or failing that, the highlights, seeing with your eyes that a player is playing well is sometimes better than just trying to play the stats every time. So you're kind of like playing real life manager in this sense. You're on the sidelines watching a broadcast or going live to a match, hopefully one day in the future, and just using your own assessment of players as opposed to just trying to capture FPL data in stats. You kind of have to I think the most successful managers marry the two, stats and what we call the eye test of just watching these games. And when we go back to rule number one, the template changes, and the key to success is being the first one to know when the template changes. A great way to be ahead of the curve is to watch games, to watch highlights packages, and look, see with your eyes and look out for these players who might be have form that's up and coming for an FPL pick.
I think what it comes to, and I think part of the reason for this is that there are people who are really strong on stats. There are fantasy managers who are really strong on stats and can dig into OptiData. They can dig into XG, XA, and really just build a case for various players and why they're underperforming or overperforming their stats, et cetera, et cetera. I think for the vast majority of us idiots out there, include myself in that category, it is very easy to cherry pick the stat that you want, right? So like I'll see somebody and I'll have an eye test and then I'll see a stat that appeals to me. And I will say, yes, I want them. And someone will say, well, does it matter that he is that he's overperformed his XG by three over the last seven matches or whatever? And I'm like, no, because I want them, you know. And so you can't, you know, if you're going to commit to stats, you really should go all in. And otherwise, I think you are better off, just watching matches, making decisions. And here's the other reason why, Brandon. Okay. And this is one that I think is hugely, hugely important. Something I think a lot more about. And something we were talking about our philosophies or the way that we approach the game. Like, okay, there are certain people in Australia, New Zealand, was Simon March, who like famously won the league a few seasons ago without like watching a single match because he was working in Singapore or whatever. There are people who can never watch a match and derive a lot of joy out of the fantasy game. But I think in general, why do it unless part of what you're going to do is watch these matches, enjoy the matches, draw conclusions about players that you like and don't like from these matches that you watch and put them in. And I just don't think that you need to be, even in this era of, maybe especially in this era of big data in fantasy, I think that there's a real like path you can carve for yourself, just being a player who makes opinions based on what you see, you know, as long as you can maintain an element of objectivity. I mean, if you're a huge Arsenal fan and you're just like, you know what, I just think that, you know, whomever, you know, that like Bern Leno is just like the greatest keeper and, you know, I'm going to build my team around having him, he's undroppable, whatever. But, you know, if you can watch these matches and draw real dispassionate conclusions, you know, about the players that you want, I think that's just a more fun way to play.
Okay, let's move on to tip number 9, which is keep the anger in check. Seriously. So we've all been there, right? And FPL can drive you absolutely insane. And to speak seriously of mental health or just the general health of your household, you have a bad game week and you're in a bad mental state, it can impact your relationships, it can impact your work, and it can just prevent you from generally enjoying yourself on a weekend when you should just be enjoying the fact that you're alive and part of the human race. And you have to, I think one way you can say it's not worth getting angry about is just admitting you cannot control FPL. Just because this player is in your FPL team doesn't mean that you're controlling them like a FIFA character. There is not a glitch in the game if one of your FPL assets doesn't do well. It's just out of your control.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I think you're really right about that, because I had a moment last season like this moment that like maybe everyone else has came to this conclusion long before I did, but I had this moment. It was like a Friday night and I was debating, you know, player X and player Y. Right. And I was going back and forth on them and I was suddenly like, oh, right. Like I can't actually solve this because these matches haven't actually been played yet. It's not like it's like a, you know, a script that you're like predict, you know, it's like you genuinely don't know who is going to perform better. And sometimes, you know, a back pass is going to go astray and somebody's going to latch onto it and you're going to lose your double Liverpool clean sheet or whatever. And, you know, it's like those are just like, it's like playing poker. I mean, like, you know, you can play perfectly and still lose. And, you know, it was like a moment where I was like, right, like I want to make the best conclusion I can, but I have to remember that these matches haven't been played yet, you know? Yeah. And then I can't overthink, you know, I can be guilty of overthinking things here.
You reminded me of going to see the M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Village, with my friend Tom way back when it was in theaters. And before we left to go to the theater, Tom said, give me a pen and a post-it note. Which I did. And he wrote something on the post-it note and he said, put this in your pocket. Yeah. And after the movie was over, Tom said, pull out that post-it note. And I pulled it out and he had 100% accurately predicted what the Shyamalan twist was going to be at the end of the movie. I should actually reach out to Tom and see if he's interested in playing FPL, because by that logic, he should be a terrific FPL manager.
Right. But it's a pretty good guess. Yeah.
You cannot see all these twists coming. A couple of tips about keeping your anger in check from our listeners. Stuart Pinn says, log out of the FPL site at least 24 hours after any particularly bad set of games for your team. Rage transfers rarely pay off. And what Stuart is talking about here is player A is in your team, they do poorly. Player B is not in your team, they do great. So you rage transfer player A out to get player B. So give them at least a day's cooling off period before hitting confirm. And then Migs chimes in, the quote, have fun part has to be the most important part. If your fun is being methodical, do it. If your fun is playing the upsides, do that. So yeah, just kind of maybe don't focus so much on the anger. Focus on what it is that you find fun about playing the game.
Yeah, I think that's it's something I struggle with even after. It's something I this summer I felt it, you know, and I hate it. And it's something I have to work on. It's like a kind of like madness, comes over me. And so, yeah, I think not watching as many matches actually is kind of useful. I think in the US, and I think some of our UK friends will experience this. Maybe they did already this summer. When you have matches on all the time and you're having a bad game week already, just watching like match after match after match. And sometimes you're like, I just spent 12 hours this weekend watching matches and I was miserable the whole time, you know? And it's, it can be a real, yeah, it's like you have to like just walk away from fantasy, walk away from like just the Premier League completely for you know a day sometimes to reset a little bit.
Maybe just check out the new Canadian Premier League. Maybe that's what you're after.
Maybe that, yeah, it could be. Might could be. All right, final tip, and I like this one because this is outside the fantasy realm. A good way to end things, though. It's read non-fantasy sources. Brandon, what does this mean?
Yeah, I think what it means is once you get deep into FPL nerddom, sometimes all of the football content that you end up consuming is of the FPL variety. And that's useful because FPL is like a focused beam of football energy. And you need those news and your resources to help shape your FPL strategy throughout the season. But what you're missing is real life football news. Football news that's happening outside of the FPL community. So don't let FPL just like, as you were saying, 100% drown out your enjoyment of in real life football, but also be often non-FPL football sources like press conference transcripts and things like this can help you cut through some of that FPL chatter. I know, Josh, you're a big fan of reading either watching what video is available for press conferences or reading the transcripts, because a lot of press conference quotes that you find in FPL chatter can either be taken out of context or just there's just too much focus put on them. So if you go and read the full transcript of the presser, if you're a crazy person like you, you can actually see a fuller context. And then maybe you can draw some weightier conclusions from that IRL football news.
I mean, honestly, you can usually go to the Manchester Evening News, Liverpool Echo. You know, it's pretty easy to find, if not the full transcript, then certainly a very thorough breakdown of what was said. I think for me, it's that. So it's press conference stuff. But Jonathan Wilson, Michael Cox, David Ornstein, a lot of the Athletic Premier League writers in general, I think, are really good. Sam Lee. I'm sure I'm missing several who are also really good. But Jonathan Wilson, Michael Cox in particular, those are my two longtime favorites. And I think Michael Cox especially, I mean, Jonathan Wilson's great for narrative, but Michael Cox is so good at explaining how football is actually played, you know, like how the managers are setting things up at the pitch, how teams move in formation. And honestly, I don't even know if it's that fantasy focused, but I just enjoy everything about the game more when I understand it better. And I do think it helps me in fantasy too, because it gives me a more grounded perspective on how certain players are playing. Now I understand what role Firmino, you know, you read this kind of stuff and you're like, well, this is why I don't want Firmino on my team, right? Yeah, because right. he's actually too good of a player in some ways. He's like, he's so complete that it hurts him as a fantasy asset because he doesn't really play like as a traditional back of the, you know, shoulder defender. He's like, back of the shoulder forward. He's like going way back to the pitch, winning the ball, setting things up. And often, you know, there'll be a great, you know, goal that, you know, Mane assists Salah or whatever, and it was all set up by Firmino and his winning the ball back or whatever. So anyway, that's a long way of saying that I do think that your perspective on the players that you might bring into your team is more grounded in fact, yeah. if you read some of these non-fantasy sources.
It really does flesh out the world too. If you play role-playing games out there, I'm also thinking of Red Dead Redemption 2. You go across the sprawling Western landscape, you encounter dead bodies, and usually the dead bodies have notes attached to them. You read the note, it doesn't help you succeed in the game. It just gives you a little bit of story about the environment that you're in. And it makes you feel a little cooler riding your horse around Red Dead Redemption. So it's kind of like the non-FPL related content are the little stories you find around the role-playing game that just flesh out the world around you and make it worth the AAA $65 price tag that you paid for the video game in the first place.
Have you ever played a sit-down, like a Dungeons and Dragons game? Have you ever just like sat down and played that like start to finish before?
No, I gotta be honest with you. I don't even really understand how they work because somebody actually has to write the rules and write the narrative. It seems like it seems like more work than doing a weekly FPL podcast, to be honest.
It feels like you'd have to be in your 50s to pull it off. Like you'd have to know so much about life in order to pull it off. There's a podcast, it's the McElroy brothers. I can't think of what it's called right now. Adventure Zone, I think, where they just play Dungeons and Dragons. And it's a surprisingly fun podcast because it is fun to see people flush their creative muscle. Anyway, this has nothing to do with fantasy, much like the last bullet here. And Brad, I think that's a perfect way to end the podcast. Play the Premier League play Fantasy Premier League this fall. Enjoy it. Have fun. But don't like fail to see the forest from the trees, right? Mm-hmm. It should just be something that helps make the experience of watching way too much sports on TV mm-hmm. more enjoyable. And that's kind of like full stop.
Indeed. Totally agree. So as we sign off, just a reminder, if you like what you hear and if you want to say thanks and get more FPL content from the cheaters, visit us at patreon.com/alwayscheating. Become a supporter, gain access to new leagues, extra podcast every week, our Slack chat forum, and of course, that new Make Fantasy Fun Again t-shirt that's coming. We like to thank our producers every week. So Josh, I'll kick it over to you to run through our producer credits.
All right. Thank you to our producers, Trevor Ingerson, Andy Pan, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant. Ben Grant, the forgotten producer. I feel like we never really talked to Ben Grant, unless he's got one of those like FPL,
right,
or nicknames or, you know, exactly. But Ben Grant, if you're out there, I hope you're doing well. James Holland, Jazz Binney, Dave Wagner-Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne. Jim, thank you so much for the email, by the way. Mike DiPietro, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Farberg, Skogang, Paul Hartzig, Kaya, Christine Lang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostell, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, Carrie Swanson, Chris Howell. Hope you're doing well, Chris. Brian B., Paul Scanlon, Kieran Screen, James Hurt, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Blue Nose Stu, Matt Marks, Michael Yuang, Bruce Kerr, Elper Paxoy, and our newest producer, patron Nicholas Vernadakis. Thank you, Nicholas.
And I also want to say hello to the daughter of Jim Payne. Jim has been sharing Always Cheating with the whole family, and so we're getting some nice messages from Family Payne. We should start a mini league called House of Payne. I'm sure somebody else has already thought about that. Okay, so remember, subscribe to the Always Cheating podcast wherever you get podcasts. Rate and review on iTunes. That really does help the pod. Also, follow us on social media, wherever fine social media is found. Email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com, or visit us at alwayscheating.com for all that information and more.
Sounds good. We'll see you in a week. And I think, Brian, you're doing a bonus podcast this week, right, for our Patreon supporters?
Yeah, I'm on deck for Patreon pod this week. So, I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm going to make it fun. I can promise you that.
Make fantasy fun again. Perfect. All right. Talk to you soon, Brandon.
Bye. right, gang, one last note before we get out of here, and it's from our friends at Bet Online. Did somebody say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for the gold, and our partners at Bet Online have you covered. Get in on all the action, including the new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into the fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports, and remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.